how God loves us so much that He made His word available to us to be strengthened, to live, and to win every day. Get your hearts prepared today as you receive this life-transforming truth from Favor Ebenam and be changed forever. God bless you.
So now the book of Acts chapter 19, yeah? And from 11, I'm going to read from 11, the scriptures that I highlighted. And it says, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. You know, I love this so much because, I mean, the Bible says God was the one doing the miracles, but it was using the hands of Paul. Wow, amazing. So verse 12, it says, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirit went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preached. So these guys decided to go cast out evil spirits with the name of Jesus. Verse 14, and there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so, the seven sons of Sceva. And the evil spirit answered and said, now, I want you to listen. These guys went to go cast out evil spirits. Are you aware that evil spirits and demon are not the same? A demon is not an evil. Okay. Demon is evil, okay? So generally, we can say a demon is an evil spirit. Generally, because they are evil. They're just evil. They're not good, okay? But when we say evil spirits, it's different from demon. Evil spirits are fallen angels that fell with the devil from heaven. Those are evil spirits. Those are not demons. So, this particular evil spirit, seven sons of Sceva, they said, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preached. And the evil spirit answered them and said, Jesus I know, okay, and Paul I know, but who are you? That question is so powerful. Who are you? It's the kind of question you ask yourself. Who am I? Who are you? It's a question, it's a call to check oneself. It's a call to seriousness. It's a call to improvement. You know, it's a call to advancement. It's a call to know God, to find out a lot of things. It's a call to knowledge. You know, it says, who are you? That's the question the evil spirit asks. Say, who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them. Now, the evil spirit was in the man. The evil spirit was in the man, okay? And overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. So the evil spirit wounded each and every one of those people that wanted to cast out the evil spirit, and got them naked, beat them up, and they ran away. Isn't that so surprising that they used the name of Jesus and the evil spirit still went about to drive them away? What happened? The evil spirit said, I don't know you. He said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? Like, why? What? Like, is it necessary for an evil spirit to know you? Of course. an evil spirit should know you. You know, we read the Bible that one time Jesus was just passing by, and a demon that was in a man, like Jesus was just on his own, and then the demon cried out and said, "Have you come?" Jesus was not trying to cast this demon out, but because this demon sighted Jesus, he said, "Have you come to chase us before our time?" That means the demon recognized Jesus. You see, you can be so strong in the realm of the spirit. You can have this deep relationship with God and become so relevant in the kingdom of God that you become a threat to the kingdom of darkness. You become a threat to the kingdom of darkness, that they recognize you. They can recognize your voice. They know your voice. And they are scared of you, because they know what you are capable of doing. So that question that they asked them, they're like, "Who are you? Who are you guys? Who are you, actually?" They couldn't recognize them in the realm of the spirits. They couldn't see the kingdom in them. You see, they had no stature in Christ. Remember, one of the prayer Paul prayed for the church one time, he says, "My little children, of whom I travel again in birth, that Christ may be formed in you." That means it's one thing to give your heart to Christ, right? It's another thing to receive the Holy Ghost. And it's another thing for Christ to be formed in you. Because there's a forming that Christ has to do in you. Even after giving your heart to Christ, after coming into the kingdom of God, Christ has to form in you. Christ has to take up a stature in you. When you say Christ formed in you, what are you trying to say? They're trying to say that the life of God has been strongly activated in you, and the character of God is seen in you and in your life. That's what they're trying to say. That's what that scripture is trying to say. So this series, the series is all about getting to understand where God wants you to be in. To be in a position in your life whereby you can take charge of anything in life, including the evil spirits. Are you aware that everybody has power? We all are very powerful. There's no one that has more power than the other, because the Bible says that you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So if you have the Holy Ghost, it means you have power. And every one of us who has received the Holy Ghost have the same level of power. Now, because we have the same Holy Ghost, there is no little Holy Ghost, there's no big Holy Ghost. So now the problem is that why is that some can take away evil spirits and some cannot, even if they have power? I'll tell you. Number one, knowledge. Knowledge. Knowledge, very important. Knowledge. Because without knowledge, you will not know that there's something that you're supposed to do. Without knowledge, you won't grow. Without knowledge, you won't advance. So knowledge. And number two, be a doer of the word of God. Doer of the word of God. Because what can make Christ have stature in you is when you do the word. When you're a doer of the word of God, the word of God forms itself in you. So you begin to have an experience of the word of God. Your experience becomes the experience of the word. So when you study the word of God, you can see your life there. You're like, wow, this is talking about me. Are you aware that not everybody that is preaching from the Bible is preaching the word of God? Please, can you hear me? I need to be sure that I can be heard.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Because someone is preaching from the Bible doesn't mean the person is preaching the word of God. You know, when I found this out, I was so shocked. Because the word of God is beyond the Bible. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, there was a reason why that evil spirit recognized Jesus, right? And then the reason why the evil spirit recognized Paul. Remember, the Bible says Jesus is the word of God, right? Jesus is the word. Jesus says, I am the truth. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is not a truth. He is the truth. Jesus is the life. Jesus is not a life. He is the life. That means there's no life. There's no other life aside Jesus. So anyone that does not have Christ does not even have life in the first place. So Jesus is the life. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the way. Jesus said that himself. Now, Jesus is the word. John 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same in the beginning was with God. All things were made by him. And he called the word him. And he says, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. His name was Jesus. Jesus is the word. So that word that Jesus was, the Holy Ghost came and empowered him as the word. So that was why no evil spirit was able to withstand Jesus. And Paul also was someone who, you know, Paul said something. I love Paul, the apostle. Paul was the one that defined the word of God for us. Paul gave us four characteristics. Is it four or five characteristics of the word of God, which I'm going to show us in a moment. It is very, very important for us to understand that and start seeing differently. Because if we don't understand that, we'll just be playing Christianity, we'll be playing church. You will attend Bible studies over and over and over again. You hear powerful messages, but your life will not really, 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 really take a new turn like that because of the level of the understanding of the word of God, first of all, that you're receiving. You see, what is the word in the first place? There is a mindset you must have that will help you see the word the way God wants us to see it and help us grow in it and help us become more effective and even help us make decisions that the word of God. Wow, you will see great result, great and mighty result in your life. Now, I'm going to show us something. First of all, before I go into that, I want to show us something. In the book of the same Acts of the Gospel, yeah? The Gospel of Acts, chapter 18, verse 24. There's this guy called Apollos, right? Apollos was... I'm sure you know Apollos. In 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Paul talked about Apollos, whereby Apollos was also a minister of the gospel, doing great things. At a point, they were even comparing him and Paul, some very ignorant people. And some say, I'm for Apollos, some say, I'm for Paul. I attend Paul's church. This one say, I attend Apollos' church, and all of them arguing. Imagine, children of God. So, this same Apollos, the Bible tells us who Apollos was in the book of Acts, the Gospel, chapter 18, from verse 24. right? You can look at it on my screen. You can look at it on my screen. Are you with me? Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes.
And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. I want you to understand this introduction. This introduction that they were introducing Apollos. He said, a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord and being fervent in the spirit. You know the meaning of fervent in the spirit? When they say you're fervent in the spirit, it means that you are burning. You are burning, like you're burning. You're on fire for God. You understand? You're on fire for God. This guy was on fire for God. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Now, this guy only knew the baptism of John. He was only teaching the teachings of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was teaching about Jesus. John the Baptist was telling people about Jesus Christ before Jesus came. So John the Baptist's ministry was all about the coming of Jesus, was the introduction of Jesus. And Apollos learned from that. So that was Apollos' teachings. Apollos was, it's not a complete teaching, you know why? Because Jesus had come and Jesus had died. Right? So it was not a complete teaching. So it was just talking about Jesus, the coming of Jesus, who Jesus was, and you know, that and that and that, what Jesus would say, those kind of things, you know, those were his teachings. But the Bible says it was eloquent, it was fervent in spirit, he took it seriously, he loved God so much, a mighty man, eloquent man, mighty in scriptures. So he was teaching all of that, but it was the baptism of John. Right? Baptism of John. Now, baptism of John, right, is not the same as baptism in Christ or baptism of the Holy Spirit. Baptism of John is water baptism. It's the immersion inside water. You know, when they put you inside water and bring you out, that does not mean you're born again. Baptism in the Holy Spirit means you're born again. Baptism in the Holy Spirit means you gave your heart to Christ. You're born again. So baptism of John and baptism of the Holy Spirit are not the same. You see? But this guy knew about the baptism of John. Now, verse 26. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. This guy used to speak boldly in church. The guy goes to church and he speaks so well. He preaches so well. Preaches mightily. Whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, Aquila and Priscilla, who are these Aquila and Priscilla? Aquila and Priscilla were couples, husband and wife, very great people. They had been with Paul the Apostle. Those people, you know, Paul had a business. Paul was a tent maker, right? So these people were with Paul. So they understood the gospel with Paul. They knew the gospel with Paul the Apostle. So when Apollos was teaching in the church, in a synagogue, Aquila and Priscilla, who had been with Paul, who understands the gospel, heard about Apollos. In fact, they saw him. Now, the Bible says, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they heard him preaching in the synagogue, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. So, Apollos himself was humble enough to submit under the mentorship of Aquila and Priscilla, who brought him one side and said, you know what, we need to teach you more about the word of God, because we see that your knowledge has a limitation. You teach about just the baptism of John. We need to show you more. So verse 27, And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, so the guy was ready, he was done with his mentorship. He was done with his mentorship. They have taught him and all of that. Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. You know, I want to read this in another translation so that you can get the full understanding of what they're talking about. Because when Apollos was done with his mentorship, I want you to understand what happened to him, okay? So the book of Acts, chapter 18, verse 27. I'm going to open the scripture now so that you can see. Just give me a minute. Praise God. Are you guys still there?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right. So I'm going to read from the Amplified Translation. Yeah. So that's the, yeah. No, let me read from the NLT. Yeah. Apollos had been thinking about going to Achaia, and the brothers and sisters in Ephesus encouraged him in this. They wrote to the believers in Achaia, asking them to welcome him. When he arrived there, look at, Apollos was done with his mentorship, yeah? So when he arrived there, he proved to be a great benefit to those who by God's grace had believed. Right? Verse 28. Let me read from the NLT. Yeah. He refuted all the Jews with powerful arguments in public debates. Now, look at it. This guy had grown so much. He had grown so much in the knowledge of God's word. So he went back and the Bible says, look at what happened with him. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Let me read it from Amplified. For with great power, he refuted the Jews in public discussions, showing and proving by the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. So now, this guy's ministry had turned. This guy's ministry has become something else. He now had a powerful ministry. To the point that if you read 1 Corinthians 3 verse 4, you can see that Paul was talking about, look at 1 Corinthians 3 verse 4, yeah, look at my screen. You can see that Paul was talking about Apollos here. He says, for while one said, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Hallelujah. Look at Apollos, this guy that was just preaching about the baptism of John. You see? Because he submitted himself under mentorship and he humbled himself so much to learn and to increase in knowledge, he grew so much and he became a mighty man for God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, going back to what we're talking about, that evil spirit said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? Like, who are you? The evil spirit saw him and saw that these guys, it saw them and it was like, these guys, who are these guys? They have no stature. No stature in the spirit. I don't see the word of God inside of them. I don't see consecration. I don't see anything in them. You see, I don't see it. So who are you? That's a question. Who are you? Do you even know who you are? The evil spirit asks them a question. You know, see, let me tell you something. You must understand, you must know who you are, and you must be rooted and grounded in God's word. And you must do, it's not enough to say, oh, I know who I am, or be taking proclamation every day, or be going to church. It's not enough. It's not enough. It's to know, see, have a deeper relationship with the Holy Ghost, and get to understand how to make use of the power of God that God has deposited in your spirit through the Holy Ghost, or by the Holy Ghost. And I made a statement. I said, because someone is reading from the Bible does not mean that person is sharing to you the word of God. Because the word of God is more than the letters. The word of God comes from the Spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? The word of God comes from the Spirit. Now, I want to show you something. The description that the Bible describes the word of God. And this is going to change your whole mentality. Going to change your whole mindset. Trust me. It's really going to change your whole mindset. Praise God. So I'm going to... I want us to open our Bible to show us... Okay, I didn't open... I need to go back to my screen so that I can show you my Bible. So I'm going to open to the book of Hebrews. You know, I like the book. I love the book of Hebrews so much. You know why? Because the book of Hebrews is a book of faith. Remember, it was the book of Hebrews that introduced us to what faith is all about. Gave us a definition of faith. A lot of definitions, you find it in the book of Hebrews. So I want to open to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. All right, Hebrews chapter 4. Now, I'm going to read from verse 9. Okay, that's my screen there, in case you can see. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own work, as God did from his. This is so powerful. I don't really have much time. If not, I can just spend like a whole day explaining this thing to you. See, there are a lot of children of God who are struggling. See, when you're struggling as a child of God, it means there's a lot of things you don't know. When you're struggling as a child of God, it means you don't know the things you're supposed to know. Because a child of God should not struggle at all. In all things. You know, the Bible says, he that strives for mastery is temperate in all things. A child of God, because when I study my Bible, I see, oh dear God. The Bible says, he has called us into his kingdom and to be partakers of his glory. That means he has called us to enjoy his glory on earth here. All right, so I'm still reading. So there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he has also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. His rest. He that has entered into his rest. Think about it. Have you entered into his rest? You know, okay, verse 11. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Number 12. This is what I'm going to. This is a description of the word of God. This description, let me tell you something. If the word of God, if you don't see any results in your life, it's because you've not understood the word of God. Even after you have always been under the ministry of the word of God, it's because you don't know what the word of God is. So there's no attitude. There's an attitude towards the word of God. There's an attitude to have towards the word of God. But you cannot have such an attitude if you don't even know what it is. You don't know what to expect when you are under the ministry of the word of God. Verse 12. Listen very well. It says, for the word of God is quick. Now, I love this so much and I've meditated on it. Have you ever meditated on the scripture to the point that you become the scripture? That's one of the things meditation does for you. When you meditate on the word of God, you become that thing you're meditating. Because one thing meditation makes, see, meditation makes something stays with you. It stays in you. It stays with you. Not just in you, but with you. And it produces the spirit of that thing. The character of that thing, it produces it in you. So the Bible says, for the word of God is quick. Quick. What does quick mean? It means alive. It is alive. I'm going to read it from the King James, but when I'm done, I'll take us to Amplified. In that Amplified, the Bible of that Amplified gave us about four characteristics of the word quick. Now, you see, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him. Now, he called the word of God him also. See, it gave a personality to the word. Now, let's go to the Amplified translation, okay? Hebrews 4 verse 12. Hebrews 4 verse 12. Can you see my Bible? Thank you. Now, look at it. This is the Amplified, yeah? It says, for the word that God speaks is alive and full of power. You can see that? It says, for the word that God speaks is alive and full of power. You cannot separate power from the word of God. You know, there was a time I was very sick. Yeah, I want to share a testimony to you guys. I was very sick some years back. I was sick. I knew the word of God. So I was trying to heal myself. I was talking to the sickness. I say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you, normal. I did all sort of things, but nothing happened. Yeah. So Pastor Benny Hinn was having a program. And that program was not a healing program. It was a finance program. You're talking about finances, giving money, kingdom finances, and all of that. So I, you know what I did? I said, I want to go listen to that program. I want to go stream. I want to participate in that program so that I can get healed. Do you know that they were not talking about healing in that program? When I tuned in my television and I was seated watching the program, while the man of God was talking, I got healed. He was talking about finances. He was not talking about healing. He didn't mention healing. He didn't mention anything. So while he was talking, I got healed. The thing I was trying to cast for days, I was trying to get out of me for days, while he was talking the word of God, while he was sharing the word of God, I got my healing. He didn't pray. He was just sharing the word of God. Why did I get my healing? I understood what the word of God is. Many people don't know what the word of God is. That's why I said someone can be teaching from the Bible and not be teaching the word of God. Because the word of God is spirit. Jesus says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. I can teach from the Bible and not teach spirit and life. You see? Now, it says, for the word of God, look at it. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. It says, for the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active. Now, look at the four characteristics I was telling you about. Number one, active. Said, making it active. I would like you to write this down. Very important. active. Number two, operative. Number three, energizing. Number four, effective. Says, for the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. These are the things you must expect when you're under the ministry of the word of God. For the word that God speaks is alive. For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power. Oh God, I just feel the presence of God so strong. For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. Active, meaning you're active. See, you know, when you're just inactive, you're not feeling too well, you're just inactive, you're not able to do anything. He said, when you stay under the ministry of the word of God, expect to be active. Glory to God. Woo! This is so powerful. Expect to be active. Number two, operative. Do you know the word operative? Operative. Now, when the Bible says it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure, that word, it is God that is operating in you. That word is operating. The Greek word is energio. It means to. You know what it means for something to be operating in you? That thing is operating. That, like, his job is doing his job in you. He has a ministry in you, working in you. You see, operating, meaning the word of God is just going into you and checking. Hey, this is not supposed to be here. I'm going to take it out. Get out. Hey, this thing is not there. This thing is supposed to be here. I'm going to put it there. You know, now you understand when Jesus said the words that I speak. He says, you are cleansed through the word of God that has spoken unto you. Oh, dear God. You understand that. This is the reason why we can all see that under the ministry of the word, and I'll get blessed and the other person will not get blessed. Because he does not understand. He does not understand the character of the word. There's an attitude one must put on. There's an attitude one must put on when that person is under the ministry of the word of God. I went to a pastor's training one time. While I was there, one man of God came to speak. And while he was speaking, I mean, in my spirit, see, let me tell you something. If God opens your eyes to see what's going on in your spirit when the word of God is being shared, I told you, I said, not everyone who opens the Bible and is reading from the Bible is actually preaching the word of God to you. Because number one, you are not allowed, see, you cannot preach what you have not experienced. The word of God should become your experience first so that it can become life to you. If the word of God cannot be life to you, it cannot be life to another person through you. You understand? See, I want you to get this thing that I'm talking about. So the Bible says, for the word that God speaks is alive and full of power. Remember, the Bible said something. It says, God sent his word to heal their diseases. Do you understand what that means? It is send a person. He said, he sent his word. Ha! Even if the word of God has a personality, yeah? But he said, he sent his word to heal. That means the word of God has power in itself. The other time, Jesus was in a place, you know, people were sick there, and the Bible says the power of God was present to heal. What do you think the Bible is talking about? What was the power of God? What was the power of God that was present to heal? The power of God that was present to heal was the word of God. This is how, now you understand that the only thing that must come out of your mouth should be the word of God. You have to practice talking the word of God to your people, to yourself. Many things that we go through as children of God, we're not supposed to go through them if we understand the word of God. You see, if we understand the word of God, Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. See, that word there is rhema, by every spoken word. And let me explain something to you. Paul made a statement. Paul said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Right? It didn't say, the Bible never said, let the word of Paul dwell in you richly. It didn't say, let the word of Peter dwell in you richly. It didn't say, let the word of David dwell in you richly. Let the word of John dwell in you richly. It said, let the word of Christ. The word of Christ. Because, why did he say, let the word of Christ? The word there, the Greek word there was logos. It was not rhema, you see. It was logos, meaning that when you open the Bible and you see anywhere Jesus was talking, he said, let that word that Jesus spoke, make it an assignment, okay? That those word must dwell in your spirit, rich in all wisdom. Do you know that when I knew that I was going to be so successful was when I started putting the word of Christ in my spirit richly. I remember back then, I would write every word that Jesus spoke. I'll write them and I'll put them in my spirit. The Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I put them in my spirit. I was wowed at how wisdom was working in me. The wisdom of God, because the Bible says Christ has become into you wisdom. Christ is into us wisdom. And how you can manifest it, how you can activate it is by making the word of Christ dwell in your spirit richly in all wisdom. Jesus spoke something. Jesus said something powerful one time. He said, if you love me, he said, my Father will love you, and I and my Father will come and make our house in you. He said, and we'll manifest ourselves in you. I was meditating on that this morning. I jumped out. I said, dear God. I said, now I understand. He says, I and my Father will come and manifest ourselves in you. You know the reason why many people, their life is not as if the manifestation of God is operating in their life. It's because they don't really love the Father. They don't really love God. But this is a topic for another day. We'll talk about it. But I want to stop here because of time. Like I said, it's a series. So we are not rushing, okay? We're going to take our time and understand what God has for us. And we're going to grow from there. Amen.
I trust that you were blessed and transformed by the Word of God. To contact us, kindly send an email to thegreaterlifeglobal@gmail.com or any of our social media platforms @GreaterLifeGlobal. Thank you and God bless you.